WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Tuesday edition of The Opening Bell. The governor of California yesterday signed into law a bill that will make it easier for college athletes there to profit from their own name, image, and likeness beginning in 2023. Joining us this morning to talk a little bit about the business of sports is Steve Berkowitz, sports project reporter and editor at USA Today. Steve, good morning. Welcome to WGN.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
So tell us about what the governor, what the state there has done. I understand that the bills that he signed, were approved unanimously by the state legislature in California.
Yeah, I mean, there were a few members of the legislature in each house who didn't vote, but all of those who voted in favor. So you have zero no votes on this. And what the legislation does is, as you mentioned, it will give college athletes in the state of California, beginning in 2023, which is a really important point here, the ability, much greater ability to make money off of their name, image, and likeness. The NCAA allows athletes to do this now, but in a very limited way. The athletes cannot identify themselves in any way that sort of identifies them as an athlete with their particular school. So they could do business as themselves. They just can't identify themselves as athletes, which is how a lot of these folks are known and seen. So that's the difference here. It also will allow athletes to have agents give them representation in sort of arranging these deals. But the biggest thing is that you have a 3-year, it's a 3-year in advance bill.
What has been the NCAA's reaction to this?
The NCAA is not happy on a variety of different levels. The biggest thing with the NCAA is that, aside from being concerned about sort of having a patchwork set of rules that is done on a state-by-state basis, the NCAA feels very strongly, and the NCAA is not people in Indianapolis, it's the schools themselves all together. They feel very strongly that they have the legal right to make their own rules and determinations about how things should run within college sports, and obviously this does not do that. This is where legislators are doing this for them, just the same way as the NCAA has been fighting a whole series of legal battles where judges have been imposing rules on the association.
The bottom line here is that this could impact this level of amateurism, I guess, as we always consider college athletes as amateurs. This sort of takes that away from that, doesn't it, just a little bit?
Sure, and that's part of the NCAA's argument as well. But the NCAA's definition of what constitutes amateurism is something that has changed over the years as athletes have been allowed to receive more and more benefits. Now, athletes aren't being paid cash money per se, but except in sort of odd instances, they are having the cost of their educations covered, which does involve some cash going to them for incidental expenses and so forth. But it's not as if the athletes aren't compensated at all, and there have been different benefits over time that they have been allowed to receive that they weren't receiving years ago, including that particular piece of their scholarship now that covers those incidental costs of attendance. But 6 years ago, even scholarship comprised only sort of room, board, books, tuition, and fees, and so. At that time, the NCAA resisted providing that cost of attendance differential because it would violate amateurism rules.
Yeah, and if you listen to the California governor, he sounds a lot like he thinks that these athletes are being taken advantage of. It feels pretty strongly about it, it seems.
Very strongly about that, no question. And that's the whole thing, is whether or not athletes, particularly in revenue-generating sports like men's basketball, and football, which are the sports that are generating the tens of millions, and in some cases over $100 million annually for individual schools that help provide the funding for other sports, whether or not this is a fair deal for athletes in those sports. I mean, I don't think anybody would argue that an athlete in swimming who's getting a partial scholarship is getting taken advantage of. And there are some instances in athletes in those sort of quote-unquote non-revenue-generating sports who get full scholarships. So I don't think that, you know, that folks are being feel like the, you know, that that's the issue. The issue sort of spins largely, not entirely, but largely around athletes in those revenue-generating sports. But it also gets at athletes, you know, who have Olympic, who have high-profile Olympic sports. For example, Katie Ledecky, who could not take advantage of her fame as an Olympic athlete while she was swimming for Stanford.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And some of those Olympic athletes, I mean, that's we often think of them being provided with all of the money they need for training and participation, but a lot of that has to come out of their own pockets, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I mean, there are ways in which those athletes can get money to help recover some of those costs, including being able to keep prize money that they get for Olympic medals and other medals in very limited number of international competitions. But for example, last year you had a gymnast from UCLA whose exploits on the floor, sort of created this sort of viral video situation, and you know, with lots and lots and lots of followers online. But there's no way that she could leverage that into generating any money for her.
Yeah. Steve, something you said earlier, we put a pin in it earlier, the beginning in 2023 part of this story. You made it sound like there are going to be court challenges that maybe this won't take effect as we see it now. What did you mean by that?
Well, the reason why this is important is that it gives everybody some running room here to try to see if there's a way where if the NCAA rules can be changed in a way that might mollify lawmakers in California, or that the law can be challenged in court. The NCAA has a group of people who have been working on examining this issue that is supposed to make a set of recommendations to the NCAA's Board of Governors, its top policymaking body, at the end of October. Everybody expects for those recommendations to involve some changes in the current NCAA rules. Few people expect those recommendations to have those changes look like what would be on the books in California. So there's going to be, you know, a delta between those two things. And, yeah, there's definitely the prospect of legal challenges. The NCAA sent a letter to folks in California saying that if this law passed, it would be unconstitutional, which takes you into the area of the Commerce Clause in the U.S. Constitution. And so they're sort of laying down a marker about how they might go about challenging it in federal court.
You know, one of the things the governor did say, almost verbatim, saying it's going to initiate dozens of other states to introduce similar legislation, that has already come true. Illinois, for example, the bill was introduced yesterday in the General Assembly here, similar to the one in California.
Yep, and you had another bill that was introduced in the Florida House of Representatives yesterday as well, and there are there are bills percolating in South Carolina and in New York. Legislators have talked about doing this or tried to make efforts similarly in the states of Colorado and Washington. There's no question that part of what the California lawmakers talked about doing is, like, in addition to making law, they were interested in making a statement.
State Representative Chris Welch, who's the sponsor of the bill here in Illinois, used Loyola as an example in announcing this bill yesterday. Loyola, which was in the Final Four, and we had this great buzz around town about that team. He talked about some of those athletes not being able to capitalize on that.
Right, and that's part of the point here, is that for many athletes who are not going to end up playing pro sports, their greatest opportunity to leverage and make money off of their name, image, and likeness occurs while they're in college, not later. And so, you know, that's the Loyola team is a perfect example of that. Those athletes had recognition of their names and images and likenesses and potential opportunities right in the wake of that situation when they, you know, when they did what they did in the basketball tournament, and, you know, that moment has passed. And so it may have been a temporary and fleeting thing, but that was going to be their moment, and that's part of what's driving this.
Steve, how is all of this going to impact the recruiting process?
Wow, I mean that's a big X factor. You know, I mean, there is one line of thought that schools in California will have this enormous recruiting advantage, at least for the time being, about this. And there's a school of thought that it's a recruiting disadvantage right now. I mean, this is part of the thing that may drive the issue into the courts sooner rather than later, even though the law doesn't take effect for 3 years, because the way recruiting works in college sports, you know, people are being recruited now for 3 years from now. So if you're an athlete who's being recruited, you'll have states outside the state of California saying, hey, don't go to those schools in California because the NCAA is threatening to make sure that those schools don't compete in NCAA championships, while the schools in California might be able to say, hey, come here because if you come here, you're going to be able to make money off your name, image, and likeness. So it's hard to tell how this would go. I mean, if it went into effect 3 years from now, yeah, then it would, then, you know, it's hard to know exactly how this will turn out and how the NCAA reacts. But yeah, I mean, it could go both ways, really.
So we're probably going to see more of these bills being introduced across the country. Is the ball pretty much back in the court of the NCAA on this matter, or are we just going to watch all of these other bills, all these other states take action?
Well, I mean, it's a little bit of both. I mean, for sure, the ball is in the NCAA's court, at least for the moment, in the sense that they have this group that was going to propose some rules changes, and it's in the NCAA's court in terms of deciding whether or not they want to take legal action. On the other hand, there's a little bit, to an extent, where the ball is not in their court, in the sense that you have state legislators who, if they can move these bills, and that's having a bill introduced and having it become law is, you know, as you guys well know, that's a big difference. And there were some factors in California that made this move along. So, you know, introducing it and getting it signed into law are two very different things. And there's a bill in Congress, I mean, that was introduced that does this exact same thing that was introduced by a congressman from North Carolina. It was referred to the House Ways and Means Committee, and there it sits. So it'll be interesting to see how these bills go once legislatures around the country start convening and, you know, and starting to potentially move on these things.
Yeah, and if it really feels like just behind the floodgates is a ton of cash just waiting to flow out onto these college athletes.
Yeah, well, I mean, that also depends too. I mean, there is a school of thought that there's this thought that lots of athletes will get lots of money. And there are those who say that if this were to occur, you would have a very small number of athletes getting potentially a lot of money. And I think it sort of lies in between, and it's going to be very campus dependent. For example, at Kansas State, you have athletes in a variety of sports, not just football, but the volleyball team and the track team and some other teams at that school in Manhattan, Kansas, are prominent within that community, and there would be local business folks who would be interested in backing those athletes. An athlete at UCLA in a similar sport, there's a much, much bigger marketplace, or at Northwestern, may or may not have those kinds of opportunities because the Chicago marketplace or the Los Angeles marketplace, in terms of local business interest, is very different from a place like Manhattan, Kansas, or Tuscaloosa, Alabama, or Auburn, Alabama. You know, it could be very, very, school specific.
All right, Steve, thank you for being on with us this morning. We appreciate your reporting.
Sure, no problem. Thanks again for having me on.
Steve Berkowitz, the sports project reporter and editor at USA Today, talking with us about this new law in California on NCAA athletes and earning money off of their image and likenesses. Again, in Illinois, the bill introduced yesterday in the state legislature. We'll see where that goes. Lots to watch on this story, so stay tuned.